Amen. Thank you, choir. We appreciate that so much. What a blessing this morning to be reminded in song. The Lord Jesus is risen, risen as He said, and we can come awake. I hope that you're awake this morning. I know you're not asleep yet, not through that music, maybe for the next few minutes, but we just want to close up this morning, and I'd like just to bring our minds and thoughts back to part of the narration earlier in the time where we were hearing from Matthew chapter 16. If you have your Bible and want to follow along, we're going to be reading several verses from this section where we're confronted with a question. Yesterday, as we went through the neighborhood and put out some flyers about this morning, there was a question on there. It said, "Who is Jesus and what does He mean to me?" And I hope that as the choir has sung this morning and so beautifully presented this message in song and narration, that thought has come to you. Who is Jesus? Who is this one that the world in many ways kind of pauses this morning to think about Him and His death and resurrection, or proclaimed death and resurrection anyway? And truly, as we heard, even the newspaper, our calendars show the importance of who He is. And this gives us a question that was asked back in the first century. It's a question that we have here in Matthew, but also Mark and Luke record this question, actually these questions, and they address the understood identity of this man, Jesus of Nazareth. Matthew chapter 16, and we'll begin reading in verse 13. When Jesus came into the border of Caesarea Philippi, He asked His disciples, saying, "Who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" And they said, "Some say you are John the Baptist, others Elijah, and others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets." He said unto them, "But who do you say that I am?" And Simon Peter answered and said, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered and said unto him, "Blessed are you, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but My Father who is in heaven." Who do people say that He is? You know, the group of people that the disciples responded concerning were people who had an interest in Jesus, who had an interest in religion. Because we don't find answers here that deny that He's a religious man, a great prophet or teacher. No, the answers we have here are very complimentary. John the Baptizer, Elijah, the great prophet, recorded in the Old Testament, Jeremiah, the author of one of the books of the Old Testament, or maybe one of the other prophets. They spoke highly of the Lord Jesus. And this morning as we gather together, I would assume that the fact that you're here sitting in this room on an Easter Sunday morning, a resurrection day, tells me that you also have an interest in this Jesus. You also have some concern about spiritual things in your own life. And as we think about people around the world today who may be pausing to consider this Jesus, who would they say that He is? Well, as the choir reminded us this morning, some would say, well, He's the carpenter. The carpenter. In Mark chapter 6 and verse 3, some of the people of the first century said, "Is this not the carpenter, the son of Mary, and the brother of James, Joseph, Judas, and Simon? And don't his sisters live here with us?" And they were offended at Him. They recognized Him as a carpenter, as a human being. And yes, the Lord Jesus is the carpenter. He is a human being. But He's so much more than that. Some today would say, well, the Lord Jesus, or Jesus, He is a teacher, a wonderful teacher starting a new religious movement named after His title, Christ, Christianity. And yes, the Lord Jesus acknowledged Himself as a teacher. He told his followers, don't let others call you rabbi, for you have one teacher, the Christ, and you are all brothers. Yes, he is a teacher. He taught wonderful things, but he's much more than only a teacher. Some today would say Jesus is an example. The example of what a good man, a good person really is, and truly he is good. Back in his day, some said he was good. Others said, no, he's deceiving the people. But overall, there was a recognition among those who were seeking God and listening to spiritual teaching that this man was a good man, and truly, he is a good man. Not just a good man, he's a great man. Not just a great man, he's the greatest, because he's the perfect man, the sinless man. Some today would acknowledge, even from other religions, would acknowledge that Jesus is a man. Jesus is a teacher. Jesus is an example. And they would even say Jesus is a prophet. And he recognized himself and acknowledged the beliefs of that day that Jesus is a prophet. Yes, he spoke for God, but he's much more than a prophet. He's the one that Moses said would come and would be like him, the prophet, the spokesman for God, because he is God. Not only a carpenter, not only a teacher, not only an example of a good person, not only a prophet. Who do people today say that he is? They speak well of Jesus. But who does his father say that he is? Now you might say, well, that's not really a legitimate question. Because you could even ask Mark Shelley's father what he's like, and you would get some good answers from his own dad and his mom, even if we know him as otherwise. Is a father really a legitimate person to ask about the son? Of course, we know that his father is the creator of the universe. He made us. He breathed into each one of us the breath of life, bringing us into this world and allowing us to live in the time in which we live and bringing us together right here where we are. He's the controller of all things. He is the one who cannot lie. And when Peter gave his answer on behalf of the disciples to the question of the Lord Jesus, who do you say that I am? The Lord Jesus acknowledged that Peter's answer did not come to Peter from human beings. And this morning, as we gather together and we listen to human beings sing and we hear a human being narrate and we listen to a human being speak for a few moments, it's not the human words, it's not the human persuasion, it's not the human personality that really is going to make the difference in a life. But rather, the Lord Jesus said to Peter, Peter, my Father has revealed this to you. And you know, that's our desire for you this morning. That's our desire for each one of us here this morning, that we will hear the words of God as they are in truth, not the words of men only, but rather the very words of God, the words that can change me and can change you. And it was God Himself, the impartial, perfect creator and sustainer of the universe, who identified to Peter and the disciples and to us the true identity of Jesus of Nazareth, more than a carpenter, more than a teacher, more than an example, more than a good person, more than a prophet, but rather, as Peter said, the Christ. You are the Christ. You are the one promised back in the Garden of Eden. After man had sinned, God was making a way, and he promised one who would come and would defeat the devil, would defeat sin, would defeat death and the grave and hell. And you are that one. You are the fulfillment of all of those promises of the coming one. You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. The Son of the living God. The Lord Jesus went on to share with His disciples, once they were able to understand who He really is, that He is the promised one of the Old Testament Scriptures, the ancient words. And He is the very Son of the living God. He's not only a man, though He is a man perfectly. And yet He is God in the flesh, the Son of God. When He claimed to be the Son of God to the Jewish leaders, they took up stones to kill Him because they knew He was claiming to be God. More than a carpenter. And the Lord Jesus went on to say to those men that He would go to Jerusalem. And He would suffer many things of the elders and the chief priests and the scribes. And He would be killed. But then He would be raised again the third day. It was hard for the disciples, His followers, to take that in. Here's the one they had recognized as the Christ, the promised one, as the Son of the living God, God Himself in the flesh. And yet He was going to be rejected. He was going to be killed. But then He promised He was going to rise again. And we read in the book of Romans that His resurrection from the dead is God's stamp of approval, God's proof that yes, He is the Son of the living God. And He is the Son of the living God with power, the power to be raised from the dead to new life, that He can offer new life to everyone who will come to Him. Not to everyone who will come to Him as a carpenter. Not to everyone who will come to Him as only a teacher, even from God. Not only one who would come to Him as a good man, even a great man, even a perfect example of sinlessness. And not only to those who would come to Him as a prophet who spoke for God, even as God, but rather those who would recognize and be able to answer that question for themselves as sinners who know, I am separated from God because I am not perfect, because I am a sinner, because I have had evil thoughts. And I have had wicked motivations. And I have committed sins and acts against God in my life. And I am separated from God. But I believe that He is the promised one. I believe that He is the Son of the living God. And John, one of the men who stood there that day and agreed with Peter on that confession of who Jesus is, more than all these things, because He is the Christ, the Messiah, the Son of the living God. Here's what John wrote. He said, I wrote the Gospel of John. He said, here's why I wrote these things, that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing, you might have life in His name. In other words, there's an offer there to those who will recognize themselves as sinners and will recognize Jesus of Nazareth as more than, and therefore the Christ, the Son of the living God, but will not only acknowledge Him to be who He is, but will believe on His name. John wrote earlier in his gospel that the Lord Jesus came to His own received Him not, but to as many as would receive Him. He would give them the right to become the children of God, even to those who believe on His name. Can I ask you this morning, as you sit here on this resurrection day, getting ready to leave this place, have you believed on Him as your Savior? When the Lord Jesus says, who do you say that I am? Do you acknowledge Him in His perfection, His sinlessness? Do you acknowledge Him as God, as the one who went to the cross of Calvary and died for you personally and took your sins upon Himself and shed His blood that you could be forgiven of your sins? Do you believe that He is raised from the dead? Have you trusted Him and Him alone for eternal life, for the forgiveness of your sins? He offers that today to all who would come to Him in faith. And I'm going to ask you just to bow your head as we close this time together this morning in prayer. And I want to give you a moment to answer that question in your own heart. Who do you say that He is? Be honest. Be honest. Is He more than to you? Be honest. And as you answer that question, if you can say, yes, I believe He is the Christ, the Son of the living God, have you entrusted to Him your eternal destiny? Have you received Him? If not, you can do that right now where you sit this morning, and you can tell God, I am a sinner. I deserve to be punished in hell forever for my sins. I believe your Son is the Christ. I believe He's the living God, and I receive Him as my Savior. I want to be forgiven. I want to be changed. I want to have a new life. And He promises He will give that to you. If you do that, we would love to know. We'd love to be able to talk with you and encourage you and pray for you. We invite you to come and meet with us afterwards. I'll be down front. Others here would love to talk with you. Let's close in prayer. Father, we thank You for the beautiful presentation this morning of the person of Jesus Christ and His work. We thank You so much that He's more than a carpenter, that He's more than a wonderful teacher, that He's more than a perfect example, that He's more than even a spokesman for You. He is God. And He is the one who took our place at Calvary and died for our sins according to the Scriptures and was buried and, hallelujah, was raised again the third day according to the Scriptures. Thank You, Father, for Your Son. And we pray for any here this morning that do not know the Lord Jesus as Savior. May they see their need of Him. May they call out to Him for forgiveness. Thank You that all who will call on Your name will be saved. And Father, for those of us who do know You, may we leave this place with a great joy in our hearts, Father, for that assurance we have of resurrection in a future day. Thank You for the Lord Jesus, and we pray in His name. Amen. May the Lord bless you on this resurrection day. You are dismissed.